Bitcoin is ripping fresh record highs with pretty much just about every other investable asset class in the entire world here this morning. We're excited. We hope you guys are getting out of the gains too with us here over the WS Alpha portfolio. We're having a ton of fun. We're going to break down Bitcoin price action and the rest of markets here. Looks like we have a little bit of a guest visitor with us today too, who just came in to disrupt my video stream here for me this morning. Why doesn't everybody say hi to the newest ape that we have here? This is our brand new puppy over here at the Daily Peel Global Headquarters. He is an official employee of Wall Street Oasis, which, you know, makes him better than pretty much me and everybody else that's associated with it. He is investing in Bitcoin as well. He told me he thinks it's going to be at 100,000 before the end of this summer. We'll see if he turns out to be right, but for now, I'm going to have him chill on my bed, and hopefully he's a little bit quiet over there, because we got a lot to talk about here this morning. So, let's get into the market snapshot before anything else here. WSOF portfolio lost about 14 bips on the day yesterday. The S&P index was down 11 bips, and the NASDAQ down a miserable, pathetic 41 basis points. WSO Alpha portfolio is officially outperforming the S&P 500 this year. Who doubted us? It's really been too easy since day one, so I can't say that I'm too surprised. We are still underperforming the NASDAQ, but not for long. We're only down about 31 bips to the NASDAQ on the year so far. Certainly, that won't last forever. All right, and we do see some strong action out of Bitcoin, of course, setting fresh record highs yesterday. It's currently trading around $71,959. Ethereum has crossed the $4,000 line once again as well. That's how you know times are good. Everybody's feeling great, especially over in the digital asset universe. Hope you guys are getting in on the gains as well. If not, always feel free to track along with us within the WSO Alpha portfolio. All you got to do is go ahead and find that on Wall Street Oasis's website, or if you just Google search WSO Alpha. We also do have our Tesla research report dropping this week as well. I just put the finalized details on it yesterday, so it is completely finished. It is now in the review stages, ready to be published as soon as possible. So definitely stay tuned for that, all of our thoughts on Tesla. All right, but like I said, we got a lot to talk about here today. And the most important thing is just going to be, like my boy, like my little puppy over there said, it's 100K or bust going forward for Bitcoin. So apes, degenerates, and scumbags, we got to unite on this one because Bitcoin is officially at the moon. We have crossed over that previous high, set a brand new fresh record high at $72,750. That is the official all-time high of Bitcoin, reached about midday yesterday, right around actually like noon or 1 p.m. Eastern on this beautiful Monday that was yesterday. And that crosses over the $68,990 line previously set back in 2021. If you bought Bitcoin at that previous high, congratulations. You're officially up 5.5%. Hope it feels great because that's exactly what treasury yields are yielding as well. So you could have gotten the exact same thing with absolutely no risk. Now, if you bought at Bitcoin's most recent low as well, around the $15,000 mark, you're up about 385% right now, which I'll give you a non-sarcastic congratulations for. That's pretty impressive that you were able to hold throughout all of this. But either way, BlackRock and Fidelity are now on your side, so I'm not too impressed. And that is really what's driving up this price action. Unlike last time, back in 2020, 2021, there is an actual reason for this price action to be going on. We have Fidelity, BlackRock, and a bunch of other asset managers getting in on the gains as well. They figured too many people were apparently telling Larry Fink to have fun staying poor on Twitter, that he figured he just had to get into it. Same thing with Abigail Johnson over at Fidelity. Either way, we are seeing a ton of inflows into crypto assets, about $8 billion into spot Bitcoin ETFs over the past couple of weeks. These things launched only in about mid-January. January 12th or 11th was the first official trading day. So just that two-month period, they've been able to soak in a net. That's a net additions of $8 billion because Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, GBTC, that asset was a lot different than the spot Bitcoin price is. And so it created some arbitrage opportunities in some complicated way that I don't completely understand quite yet, to be completely honest with you. But there was arbitrage opportunity that essentially gave them a premium. Now everybody's running for the hills out of that trust because there's actual spot ETFs available to be purchased. So this is a nightmare for Grayscale because they're losing a ton of assets under management. Even players like WisdomTree saw some outflows on certain days over the past last week, whereas Fidelity, BlackRock, and ARK, Cathie Wood's ARK, everybody's favorite investment manager, they are all mooning. They are destroying the ETF game right now. They've taken in about 92% of the flows between just those three funds alone. But it's not just the spot ETF price action that's kind of impacting Bitcoin and setting it to those all-time highs. Next month, as we all know, the halving is happening. So the Bitcoin halving, this is one of the coolest things about the Bitcoin network, in my opinion here. This is a great way to control inflation. I think Mr. Jerome Powell could learn quite a lot from Satoshi and from the Bitcoin network right here. Basically, to give the quick rundown of exactly how it works, you know, Bitcoin, it's a blockchain. In order to be a blockchain, they have to produce blocks. And so this is basically the way that it kind of works. In order to validate the transaction record of the Bitcoin transaction record, in order to validate it and know that it's true, miners need to produce these things called blocks. Blocks are about 1 megabyte of transaction record of the Bitcoin blockchain data, and they get produced whenever miners actually solve a complicated math problem. It's not a math problem like, oh, you know, add these two incredibly large numbers, or like, oh, find the integral of whatever the fuck. It's like completely beyond human comprehension at this point. I'm pretty sure you have to be autistic to understand it, so I'm surprised that I don't, because I'm pretty sure that I am. But either way, to produce a block, these Bitcoin miners use very high-tech mining rigs, aka computers, that try to solve that complicated math problem as fast as possible, because they're racing other miners that are trying to do the exact same thing. So the first miner to solve that, they then produce that block. They get rewarded with a certain amount of Bitcoin for their labor and for mining that next block to keep the transaction record going, keeping the network alive, essentially. So when you mine a block, that reward, the total amount of that reward is in Bitcoin. So you get paid out in Bitcoin for that labor of producing the next block and adding that to the chain. It's a great Ponzi scheme, if you ask me personally. But the way that it works, obviously supply is going to be driven by the total number of rewards that these miners are given. That incentivizes miners to fire up their rigs and actually continue mining. When the actual reward starts to decrease, then the production of new Bitcoin is going to slow down. More miners leave because it's simply more costly to be able to run these mines, plus you're getting less of a reward, so it's going to be a more profitable enterprise. Some of the smaller scale miners will dip out, supply reduces, and as long as demand doesn't fall by the same amount, price is going to the moon already. That's why my boy Gus over here said that Bitcoin is going to 100K. He said even by the end of July, he actually just corrected me. So everybody be staying tuned for that, because we want to see if Gus is actually going to be correct here. I personally hope that he is. I mean, I'm really pulling for him. He's a first-year analyst. He's very new. He's not exactly used to the 80-hour work weeks just yet, but he'll get there someday. All right, let's go into the what's right for the day. We saw Moderna boom about 8.7% on the day. It's like, I saw this stock movement and I was like, what are these guys doing, curing cancer over here? Actually, it turns out that they are curing cancer, or at least trying their damnedest to. So Moderna and their partnership with Merck is continuing into a phase 3 trial. This is basically a combination between Moderna's mRNA vaccines and then Merck's Keytruda cancer drug. So the idea is that combining these two things is going to cure cancer, solve all the world's problems, probably cure world hunger too, and I don't know, make somebody besides my mom actually fall in love with me. That would be a phenomenal solution as well. Personally, I don't know if that's physically possible, but Moderna and Merck are trying their best. Stock was up 8.7% on the announcement of that phase 3 trial. All right, then we got Oracle up about 1.5%. Super boring return during the day, but it was leading up into an earnings session that absolutely did not disappoint the after hours. Oracle came in, they beat on the bottom line, they destroyed EPS estimates, came up just slightly short of revenue or of sales guidance that they had given previously, but they stayed optimistic about their previous sales guidance that was issued a while ago, quite honestly. I don't even remember when, but the idea is for them to reach $65 billion in sales by 2026. Optimistic guidance, the market always loves to see that. Keep in mind, the market doesn't give a fuck about what you did. All they care about is what you are going to do. And you can lie your ass off to get to that point, which is probably why somebody like Oracle, or especially myself, is doing really well in this industry, because you can just lie your ass off. But either way, we saw shares up about 1.5%, up nearly 14% by the end of after hours trading about 8 p.m. Eastern time. All right, let's go into the what's rotten names for the day. We have EQT Corp. This is one of the biggest energy companies you've probably never heard of, but they announced yesterday their own mergers and acquisitions deal. They are going to be reacquiring a pipeline operator that they spun off back in 2018. It's a re-edition of M&A activity. We're actually going to be talking about more in just a minute here as well. But markets sold off because the reacquisition is incredibly dilutive to existing EQT shareholders. Basically, we're seeing about a 12% premium, and the former, this pipeline operator that used to be part of EQT, they have a much lower earnings per share than EQT does itself. So, of course, we're seeing that be reduced.
Shut up, Gus. Stop, buddy. Stop. Be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. Oh, my God. All right, we got New York Community Bank as well. I'm trying to tell the people about New York Community Bank. Come here. Come here. Come on.
What do you think about New York Community Bank, buddy? Well, they're getting a cool $1 billion wired to their account from the former Treasury Secretary in Mr. Steve Mnuchin. Now, investors aren't too confident that this $1 billion is actually going to be enough to plug the hole in NYCB's balance sheet. Keep in mind, guys, they are exposed to a shit ton of commercial real estate debt that is absolutely about to default. So they're hoping this $1.05 billion is actually going to do something, but it is about 50% dilutive to existing shareholders as well. So it's kind of difficult for them to get excited about that. All right, hopefully Gus is going to be satisfied now that he's back on the ground, but he's not actually going to be satisfied until Bitcoin is at 100,000, but he can go ahead and chew on my shoes until it gets there. All right, finally, to finish up for the day, we are talking about gambling on gambling. So everybody knows the three main purposes of life. That is truth, beauty, and gambling. Those are our favorite things. They're the reasons to wake up in the morning and keep suffering through this miserable existence. It's because, you know, you might stumble across a good line or some lock of the week that you can throw next month's rent on. That really is what it's all about, and we are seeing some extreme degeneracy going on in the hedge fund slash gambling world. Hedge funds, in case you guys don't know, these guys are like the ultimate bettors of Wall Street. They ramp it up in terms of overall risk. They try to do it in kind of a smart way, but this is where investment managers are kind of allowed to take as much risk as they possibly want. So it's never a surprise to see these companies take these big, take these kind of large, you know, very low odds of a payoff type of bet. But Standard General is getting in on the gambling game as well here. So Standard General is a hedge fund themselves, and they're not satisfied with just their bets that they put on in the market. They want to own a business that is betting. So they are buying Bally's Corporation. This is a casino operator. They also own a racetrack out in Colorado, and they also own a couple other things. Like, they own like a very small online betting site that runs in like 14 states. It's quite honestly not a huge deal, but basically what's going on is this hedge fund Standard General is trying to buy Bally's Corp. They're offering about $15 per share. Now, that is a slight premium to where the stock closed on Friday. Just very slight premium. It's a total acquisition price of about $685 million. Now, the really important news here is that this is a fat reduction from what Standard General offered them back in 2022. January 2022, Standard General threw out a $38 per share offer for Bally's Corp. That would have been a $2.1 billion valuation. They're taking basically a two-thirds haircut on the valuation right now. It hasn't been announced if the deal is actually going to go through, but Bally's Corp and Standard General, they seem to be on good terms for now at the very least. I'm hoping for a Carl Icahn-style activist, just all at war right here, but seems like they're on good terms. Standard General did say they plan to be long-term shareholders, whether they buy the company outright or just hold their current shares into the long term. But either way, they got to be pretty disappointed with those shares they've been holding, not only because the stock has retreated so much, but because revenue has definitely stalled out as well. And it was easy to get the revenue growth from 2020 into 2022 because the world was completely shut down and there was nothing to bet on. I honestly don't know how we made it through that time. But since then, everybody's betting once again. Everybody's rediscovering that actual purpose of life. And so revenue growth has slowed a little bit. They're getting a 67% discount on the acquisition price. Bally's Corp told them to go fuck themselves back in January of 2022. We know they're not afraid to walk away from a deal, so they might do it again. But it's definitely going to be tough, especially when we get into their balance sheet. Now, this is, of course, further evidence that M&A activity is so damn back. So all you guys that are dying for those investment banking roles, trying to get in on Wall Street as fast as you possibly can, this is a step in the right direction. More deal flow, the more analysts they need, the more hours you're going to work, of course, and the more coffees that Starbucks is going to pump out in Midtown Manhattan. All right, it's looking good for the economy going forward. To finish it off for the day, Mr. Satoshi Nakamoto, given that Bitcoin's at an all-time high, we had to go back to the god himself. If you don't believe me or don't get it, I don't have time to try to convince you. Sorry. That's one of the douchebaggiest things that I've ever heard in my entire life. Most of the time when I'm trying to convince people of an idea, I don't say, if you don't get it, then I'm done. You're helpless. I'm moving on. It's about trying to connect with these people. But, you know, just like understanding the Bitcoin halving, to actually create a Bitcoin network, you got to be a little bit autistic, right? So it's no surprise that this guy doesn't really empathize with human emotions. But either way, he is the man himself who created Bitcoin. Guys, I promise I am not Satoshi Nakamoto. I know everybody thinks that I am. I walk down the street, everybody says, oh my God, are you Satoshi? I promise I'm not. Guys, I can barely, I mean, I'm trying to think of a math joke to show how little I understand, and I don't even know enough about math to be able to create a joke for it. So I promise I'm not Satoshi, but I know that you guys all think that I am, given my technical genius that I've displayed here on these live and video streams. Finally, guys, leave us a like, leave us a comment, subscribe, tell us what you like, tell us what you hate, tell me how good my hair looks today, tell me how much you like Gus and his prediction for Bitcoin and 100,000 by the end of the summer. We'll see if it actually comes true. I'll also be taking lines on whether or not Gus's bet comes true, because like we said, guys, gambling is the third key purpose of life, gets us up in the morning, and gives us another reason to keep going at it. Thank you guys for watching today. Happy investing, happy trading. We're going to be coming at you with some shorter videos here going forward as well. Just trying to break down simple market actions here too, so stay tuned for those. We're going to have one on Enphase Energy dropping later this afternoon. So we will see you then. Once again, happy investing, happy trading. Best of luck, Gabes. Bye now.
And thanks to you, my listeners at Wall Street Oasis. If you have any suggestions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to send them my way, Patrick at wallstreetoasis.com. Until next time.